listening to the Northside Christian Church Sermon Podcast. These teachings are recorded at our weekly Sunday morning gatherings in Springfield, Missouri. For more about our church, service times, and how to connect, visit northsidechristianchurch.net.
Have you ever been asked a question where the answer just seemed obvious? I know my teachers said there's no such thing as a dumb question. But a question that is asked where the answer seems obvious, it just comes across like a dumb question. Like when your parents asked you, do you want a spanking? I don't know of any kid that was like, yes, I believe I do. You know, maybe they needed one, but they certainly wouldn't respond that way because you were more tempted to respond sarcastically. Maybe with a snark remark, because questions that have obvious answers don't usually bring out the best in us. If you've ever watched a press conference after a sporting event, and you looked at the questions that were asked of a coach or a player, when the answer is obvious, they tend to not respond real well to the answer. The question seems to come across like it's insulting or demeaning or insensitive. Jesus asked that kind of a question. In fact, the question he asked to a lame man, when you hear it, it just seems so insensitive, demeaning, insulting. First glance, it just comes across that way. It's in John chapter 5. If you have a device or a Bible, please go there. We'll look at this together. But it's that there was this pool. It was like a public watering hole. It was covered with five covered porches all around it. And it looked like a sick ward. There were lame, paralyzed, blind people all over this area. Because verse 7 tells us that when the water was stirred, they would try to throw themselves into the water. And to understand why they were doing this, you have to look at verse 4. If you have an NIV Bible and you go to look at verse 4, you're not going to find it. It goes from verse 3 to verse 5. And you're like, well, where's verse 4? Well, it's down below. It's in the footnote. Because the earliest manuscripts up until the 4th century did not have verse 4. From 4th century on, we start seeing that showing up in some manuscripts. And it's believed it's because a scribe was telling us what people believed at that time, during the day of Jesus, why they were there and why they were throwing themselves as best they could into the water, believing, in fact, verse 4 tells us, they believed an angel was stirring the water and the first one in would be healed. That's why they were there. And on this occasion, Jesus encounters a man who had been lame for 38 years. We don't know how long he had been there by the pool trying to be healed. It really is crazy to think that God would heal this way, as likely was a superstition that they believed in. Because those who were most ill and sick, the invalids wouldn't be able to get in the water. The ones who were most vibrant and healthy would be the ones that would be getting healed. It seems a little backwards, a little strange. But regardless, Jesus walks into this area. And when he learns that this man had been lame for 38 years, here's the question Jesus asked him. It tells us that when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Is that a dumb question or what? Isn't the answer obvious? In fact, it almost comes across as insensitive, demeaning. That's the way it comes. And I know the reason why. The reason is because our initial perspective is that everybody wants to get well. When we have prayer request time, the first thing that most people bring up are physical ailments. I mean, things that we're struggling with physically really do affect our lives. And so, you know, in our prayer request time, it seems that everybody wants to get well. Several of us on staff right now, we're praying for some of our workers in North Africa because one of their teammates has just received this devastating diagnosis with a brain tumor. And the words that the doctor is using is, if he survives the surgery. He has three children, 14 years of age and younger. He's married. He's doing the work of the Lord on the other side of the world. And I think if I were to go up to him and say, do you want to get well? It just seems like that'd be a little demeaning, insulting, because isn't it obvious that he would want to get well, that his family wants him well, that his friends desperately want him well? I mean, it just seems like we would want him well, but maybe we shouldn't always assume that people want to get well. Dr. Michelle Bingston, a neuropsychologist with over 20 years of experience in private practice, said that the longer I've been in private practice, the more I've come to realize the truth is not everyone really wants to get well. Some people are more comfortable in their known discomfort than they are willing to risk discomfort for the unknown to get well. Some are afraid of the unknown. Some people come to the pool, but they just don't want to be seen in their sickness. Primary care physicians, they experience this all the time. They see patients who are sick, whose lifestyles are killing them. They need to get off the Eatos. Doritos and Fritos and burritos and taquitos, and you know, they it's killing them. They need to exercise. They need to get healthy. They need some vegetables in their life. They need more sleep. But their patients don't make any changes. So when they come back a year later, at best they're the same, but most likely they're a little worse because they're not really wanting to get well, at least not enough to make the changes to get well. I think this is why about 2 years ago, I went to my primary care physician, one of those well checkups, you know, that you do. And towards the end of that checkup, he was going through some questions and he was looking at the computer screen. So I'm going to assume that Cox Health Systems has these questions that doctors are supposed to ask their patients. It just kind of seemed like that. And he asked me, you know, let's look at some goals. And so the question was, what are you going to do for exercise? And so I told him what I was going to do for exercise. How many times a week will you do that? I told him how many times a week I would do that. And then the next question seemed just a little bit personal. What percent likelihood is it that you will do this? It's the doctor's way of saying, do you want to get well? And so it's a little embarrassing when you're like, well, and honestly, I'd say less than 10%. I didn't say that. I think I gave a higher number. But I think that's when your doctor is saying, well, then there's a 90% chance I'll see you in 10 months and we'll be doing an angiogram. Because, you know, you're not doing anything to get well. Not everybody wants to get well. Not if it requires me to make some changes in my life. But doesn't all healing require change? Doesn't every healing require some transformation in our life? The reality is not everyone wants to be healed from their sickness. Jesus actually asked a very important question because an honest perspective is not everyone wants to get well. We assume that. But the fact that some people don't want to make changes that lead to healing is evidence. And so Jesus' question is not insensitive, as it seems. It's actually an essential question. It's not an insensitive question. It's an essential question. He wants permission to change you. He wants to see the faith that's required for your healing. Do you trust him? Do you believe in him? Are you going to lean into him? And we're not just talking about physical healing here. In fact, here in a moment, Jesus is going to go way deeper than that with this lame man. So we're not just talking about physical healing. Today, I want you to think about the healing that you need in your life. We're talking about healing that you need from hurts, hang-ups, habits, addictions, afflictions, emotions. We need healing. And the deeper question that Jesus is really asking us today is, do you really want to be changed? Do you really want to get well? Or are you content to stay as you are, no matter how miserable that may be? Because if you're content to stay as you are, there's no possibility for change. Carl Sandburg once said, there's an eagle in me that wants to soar, and there's a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. He said, a part of me wants to fly like an eagle, but I get too accustomed to wallowing in the mud. We have our dreams and our visions to fly, but then as we get older, life's realities convince us to settle for less or to forget them altogether. And so we get the message. This is just the way the system works. And eventually we get sucked into the system while our dreams fade away and we lose hope for something better. In other words, what we're saying is this. Some people prefer holding on to what they're used to rather than opening themselves up to disappointment again. It's a defense mechanism. I mean, this man over 38 years must have been disappointed time and time again. I don't know how many years he was trying to get into a pool, but he can never be the first one in. Years of disappointment. Days, months, weeks of disappointment. I don't know how many prayers that he prayed that were not answered the way he wanted them to be answered, which was just more disappointment for him. Jesus wanted to give him hope again. Do you want to get well? Don't assume everybody wants to get well or is prepared to get well or is willing to risk getting well, because some people prefer familiarity over change. I mean, if Jesus is going to make you well, he's going to have to take something away. And some of you would be eager for that. Paul prayed 3 times that God would take something away for him. And maybe you would really like for that. But you know, in some ways for us to be healed, we need him to take away the things that we've found comfort in or that we become familiar with, something we've grown accustomed to. He might take it away. Maybe I've grown accustomed to the sympathy that I receive in my situation. Maybe I'd rather complain than actually change. Maybe I've grown accustomed to the charity that I'm receiving with large hearts and large wallets. Or maybe I'm making my identity based on my wins or my weaknesses or my strengths or my wounds. My identity's now become wrapped up in whatever's going on in my life. I don't really want to change. I still want to be identified by that. Maybe we prefer the familiar over change. And there could be a good chance that's happening this morning. I mean, doesn't that happen pretty much on a weekly basis when people come in to hear a word from the Lord and the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to our hearts and to our minds and we're getting it from the Word of God? And in that moment, you would think that people would want to grow and change and be better and become who God wants them to become. But we don't want to go through the pain or the hardship to be who God wants us to be. So we walk out the same as we came. We didn't change. We didn't really want to get well. You would think we would, but not everybody really wants to be made whole. Maybe you have a friend who's struggling in a marriage and you've got some how-to that can help their brokenness, but the how-to is going to do no good unless there's a want-to. Rick Warren created a proverb years ago and it goes like this: there's no growth without change. There's no change without loss. There's no loss without grief, and there's no grief without pain. Are you willing to go through the grief and the loss and the pain to grow and change to become who God wants you to become? When you were forgiven of your sins, that was forgiving grace. But God also wants to give transforming grace to make you into who he wants you to be. And so to be healed, you've got to give some things up. And for this man, maybe it was his identity as a lame man. Maybe he would no longer be taken care of if that, in fact, was the case. Maybe he would no longer have this crippled identity. He was going to have to get a job and work for a living. He was going to have to live in this new, free identity in Christ. And that just sounds beautiful. I mean, it sounds exactly what we would want and he would want. But don't always assume that people want to be made well or to get whole. And I'll give you another reason why. Because some people want their sin more than their wellness. That's why. They want their sin more than they want wellness. I remember when Bruce Beatles, who's a member here at Northside, shared a couple years ago on Facebook, and it just really resonated with me. It impacted me. He said, 32 years ago today, so the day he wrote it, 32 years ago today, I was sitting in the back seat crying because I was losing my best friend. Little did I know that the friend I was losing was a cheap, worthless imposter. I climbed out of the back seat at the Betty Ford Center and began my journey back to a more abundant life in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for 32 years of sobriety and all the adventures it's brought. Hashtag not by my own strength. He sat in the back seat of a car and he cried because he was losing his best friend, alcohol. He was going to have to lose something, give up something. There was going to be loss in order for there to be change. He was scared of that. He was afraid of that. He was sad for that. He wanted to get well, but he didn't want to get well because he wanted his friend. He wanted familiar. He wanted comfortable. He wanted what was known, because the unknown was scary, the change that might come. And yet, it was so worth it. It was so beautiful. I'm sure he would like to tell that young self sitting in that back seat that this is going to be so worth it. The changes are going to be beautiful for you, but you got to change. You got to give something up. C.S. Lewis, in his book called The Great Divorce, talks about an angel interacting with a human, and the angel wanted to kill the lizard that was on the human's shoulder. It represented lust, the lizard of lust. But he had to have the permission of the human to do it. The human had to give permission. Sometimes we want to hold on to that which is familiar, maybe to that that at one point in time gave temporary pleasure. And even though it's not now fulfilling in any way, we prefer the comfort of the familiar over the freedom that could be ours. If we come to enjoy the sin, we become addicted to the sin, even if it's completely unfulfilling. We're in a position where we want our sin more than we want to be made well. Don't assume that everybody wants to get well. And I tell you why, another reason we shouldn't assume that, it's because some people believe they're well when they're sick. I can name numerous people here at Northside who went in for well checkups, and they were just, they did their labs, and but when they looked at their labs, the doctor saw something very concerning, and they had cancer, or they had some disease, and it was not good at all. It was a bad diagnosis. If you'd asked them that day, how you feeling, they would have said, great. There were no symptoms. There was nothing that said anything was wrong. They believed they were well, when in fact, they were sick. We do that in life too. Relationally, spiritually. It's like God has to peel back the layers of the onion of our lives because we just kind of operate in the surface level. And even the thing we think is wrong, we don't allow God to go deep enough to identify the parts of us that really need to be changed. And we think we're well, when in fact we're quite sick. We have to be awakened to our brokenness. The question, do you want to get well, implies that you're not well. And some people need to hear that. They're not ready to receive it. They don't want to get well because they don't think they're sick. I'm fine. I'm okay. They need God to do two things, heal and reveal. And that's our prayer today, even right now this morning, is that not only God would heal, but that he would reveal. The layers of the onion would be peeled back, and he could reveal in our lives those areas of brokenness and pain that need to be healed, where we can confess and allow him to dig deeper for the honest truth, the painful truth, because we're accustomed to our predictable, safe pattern of living where we're unaware of those parts of us that are unwell, those areas where God's calling us. And so the question, it's not insensitive, it's not demeaning, it's essential. Do you want to get well? So let's look at the man's response. It's found in chapter 5, verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. In other words, I just don't have the means. And so we read in verse 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. So the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who's this fellow who told you to pick up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you're well. You're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. And the man went away and told the Jewish leaders it was Jesus who made him well. We read here that the lame man picked up his mat. The very thing that had been carrying him, he now carried. And he walked out of there. He walked out of that place. He had been paralyzed for 38 years, but he walked out of there. Some of you need to be healed. Some of you have been healed, and yet you're choosing to sit in your misery. You're wallowing in it. And your shame, your guilt, in old patterns. I mean, is there something that Jesus has delivered you from, but you're still sitting in it? You keep going back to it? Philippians 3:13, Paul says, forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. Get rid of those lifestyles, those choices, those relationships that are holding you down. What do you need to walk away from so that you can walk into the destiny that God has for you? Are you done with a behavior or bitterness or excuse making or unhealthy relationships? Because Jesus wants you to walk into new life. And this man does. He does exactly what Jesus tells him to do. He picks up that mat. He walks into the new life that Jesus has for him. And you would think that everybody would celebrate that, would praise God for his healing. Nope. No, they don't. The first thing he experiences when he experiences healing and a new lease on life is people who are disappointed in him. They're frustrated with him. Their anger, their displeasure is on full display because he's carrying his mat on the Sabbath. Now, we don't really have time to get into why the religious leaders had such an issue with that, but he's already facing opposition to the change that happened in his life. And I just want you to know, I want you to realize that when you are made well, there are always people who are disappointed. There are always people who are displeased, who do not want you to get better. Addicts. They will have friends who disown them, who become hostile to them, who reject them. They don't want them to get better. Because if you get better, that means you think I should get better. If you change, it means you expect me to change. I'm not going to change. And they immediately find themselves on the outs of relationships. People who like the old you, the sick you, the unwell, lame you, because they prefer the familiar you over the new you, they'll be disappointed. Misery loves company. And when you seem to be experiencing life change in a new life, they won't be pleased with it. It's even possible that you would have some religious snob, just like this man had in his life, who would come up to you, and when they see the new life and the life change and you making brand new choices in your life, would have the faithless response to say, "We'll see how long that lasts." I hope you know that getting well is worth any pushback that you receive. Jesus finds him in the temple, which is amazing in and of itself. The man probably wasn't allowed into the temple as a lame man. Jesus finds him in the temple and he tells him, "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." And what we see in this moment is that the healing that Jesus wants to bring into this man's life was not yet done. He had more healing to do because Jesus didn't come the first time to just heal physically. If he had, he would have gone, "You're healed and you're healed and you're healed and you're healed." He would have gone to that sick ward and there would have been nobody left for the stirring of the water. He would have healed every person in there, but that's not why he came. He showed grace and mercy to this one man so that he could come to know not only who Jesus was, but so he could experience the healing he really needed, which was not a physical healing. He needed a spiritual healing. He says, "You better stop sinning. Something worse may happen to you. There's something worse than being lame. It's called hell. There's something worse than paralysis. It's being eternally separated from God." Jesus is giving us this higher perspective that initially we think everyone wants to get well. But then an honest perspective says, no, not everybody wants to get well. Some people don't want to make any changes to get well. They don't want to be whole. They want to stay as they are. And an eternal perspective tells us we must change. An eternal perspective realizes physical sickness is bad, but spiritual sickness is worse. There's something more important than the condition of your physical body, and that is the condition of your soul. And Jesus, he didn't come to heal every person physically when he came the first time. He'll do that eventually. That's to come in the new kingdom, new heaven, the new earth. But Jesus wants to use his physical healing of this lame man to reveal that he's in need of a greater healing, just as you are. His primary purpose to come was to save our souls, not to heal our bodies. Which is why when our prayer requests often focus so much on the physical, it's not that we shouldn't pray about those things, but why are we not more inclined to immediately think about the spiritual condition of people and the spiritual needs of people and pray about bigger eternal things, the things that last forever, for eternity? That's where people need healing. And that's where Jesus goes. in his comments. Look what Jesus says in verses 24 and 25. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life." Notice has crossed over. It's past tense. "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live." Jesus is talking about something that can happen right here, right now. He says, this has come. It's right here where the dead will rise. What's he talking about? He's talking about your spiritual resurrection. He's talking about the first resurrection that you are to experience. Revelation 20 even talks about this. When you go from being dead in your sins to being alive in Jesus, that's called a spiritual resurrection. The Bible will talk about this over and over again, especially as Jesus dies, raises from the dead, ascends to heaven, and then begins the gospel message. We see people responding all the time. It's why we see in Romans, it talks about how we die with Jesus and we're raised to new life and we're baptized into Christ. We hear words just like that. Ephesians 2, you were dead in your sins, but because of God's love and his mercy, you've been made alive with Christ. Jesus is taking us from being dead in our sins to being alive in Jesus. In other words, he didn't come just to make us better, to make you a better father or a better husband or a better person or a better employee or a better manager. He didn't come just to help you do better things. He came to make you alive, to take you from being dead to being alive with Jesus, to being raised to new life with Jesus. That's a spiritual resurrection. You need spiritual healing. And if you go through the spiritual healing of a spiritual resurrection, then you're guaranteed of a physical healing later where you get to experience new life with God forever. And that's where Jesus goes next. In verses 28 and 29, he says, "Do not be amazed at this." He says, "For a time is coming when all who are in their graves," okay, now we're talking about a future resurrection, "when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Now he's talking about a future resurrection, the second resurrection, the physical body resurrection, not spiritual resurrection, when your body that's in the grave is going to be reunited with your spirit who's coming back with Jesus. And there's going to be body and spirit again. That's who, we're made up of body and spirit. When we die, the body stays here, the spirit goes to be with God. When Jesus returns, the two are reunited again, and we get new bodies. In the twinkling of an eye, our bodies are transformed. This is the future resurrection. And he says, when that happens, new body and that spirit, when you have experienced already a spiritual resurrection, you go on to eternal life with Jesus, life forever with God. That is a powerful, beautiful promise that you have. But to experience that, you have to have a spiritual resurrection in your life. You need spiritual healing now. That's what God is calling you to today. Where you don't get caught in a someday attitude. Where you're like, well, someday I want to get well. Someday I'll be made whole. Someday I'll be spiritually healed. Someday I'll be forgiven. Someday I'll give my life to Jesus and place my faith in him. You're not guaranteed a someday. Are you broken? Are you sick? Are you aware of your spiritual condition where you're separated from God because of your sins? If so, today is the day of your salvation. Jesus is asking you this question. Do you want to get well? And if your answer is someday, what are we thinking? He wants to make you well today. He wants to heal you today. What if that paralytic laying there says, you know, maybe someday, I don't know if I'm ready yet. He's like, okay, and then he goes and heals someone else. He'd be missing a miracle of healing in his life. Jesus wants to make people well. He wants to make people whole. And that is part of our role as a church, is to help people experience healing and wellness. That's why this is a hospital for sinners. Not a sanctuary for saints. It's a hospital for sinners to come because we're broken and we need healing. We need restorations. We all have hurt habits, hang-ups that are broken that we need the power of Jesus to heal in our life. And the question he's asking us is, do you want to get well? Do you want to experience change? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to grow into his likeness? And as a church, we want to help people become whole, help them heal. This is what we're about. I got an email this past week from Austin Tate, one of the members here at Northside in our church, and he was just telling me, he says, you know, this is October. Well, I knew it was October, but it goes on. This is October, which is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And he told his story of he and Bethany. He said it was September, October of 2017. And Bethany and I found out that Bethany had miscarried. I remember that evening very well. I went to get a haircut because I didn't even know really how to feel or respond. And while waiting for them to call my name, the only thing I could think to do was message Kevin Punch. We had just joined their small group the year before. And I just remember thinking to myself, I don't know who to tell or what I'm even feeling, but I sent a message anyway. And I just told Kevin what had happened and if he wouldn't mind praying for Beth and I. And he said he would. And that was the message I sent that night. The next week, as our small group gathered, we tried to act normal and not really bring much attention to our recent news. But as our discussion time started and we were giving our highs and our lows, because you can imagine we were in a pretty low, a pretty big low. But as it got to us, we just sat silent. Our hearts were heavy, and Kevin decided that he would have us sit in the middle of the group, and Kevin asked the others to gather around us and place hands on us, and Kevin prayed for us and for our loss and for our healing. This group has been there for us. Soon after this news, Northside hosted a candlelight vigil for those that had lost an infant. I don't remember the group name at this time, but that night was just another time I believe God showed up. And he affirmed while we were at Northside and surrounded by the people there, we were ending our time at this event, and we were walking up to the top of the parking lot. Life groups were letting out, and James Doherty was there picking up his son, William. He looked like he'd just gotten off duty. He was still in his police uniform, and he met us there. And he gave Beth and I hugs, and he said he was praying for us. That meant so much to me. As we've gone through life with our Punch small group, the group's helped us with house projects and been to our house after those projects were completed. We've experienced life with them. We've gone through highs and lows with them. They mean so much to me and my family. I love each and every one of them. He said, I'm not sure if there was much taken from this, but if there are folks in the church that are not connected to a small group, I hope and pray they find and connect with one. We would welcome more to our group for sure. I also pray for those that have lost an infant. Thank you for your time as you read this email. Respectfully, Austin. I was just reading that thinking, here's a couple who was grieving, emotionally wrecked, experiencing sadness. They were hurting. And yet, because they were among a community of faith who want to be made well, they experienced healing in their grief, in their pain. Because Jesus wants to make people well. He wants to make broken people whole again. And that's part of our role as a church. The gospel saves people, it redeems people, it changes people, it transforms people, and it heals people. This is what the gospel does. That's why Krista Thompson said that her small group was an incredible support to her and Corey during their journey when they lost their baby Camry. She said, October 15th is a day that's dedicated for pregnancy, stillbirth, and infancy loss by President Reagan, is when that started. She said, that's also the day that their Camry was born. She goes, I feel like for us, God had that in mind when she was born on that day. Camry passed away a short time later. She would have been 8 years old this month. And Krista shared with me that October 16th, which I believe is this Saturday, she said it's a day of remembrance for our community. She says it's at Ritter Springs Park for those who have experienced infant loss at 10 a.m. This is a community event. Second Baptist is one of the sponsors there, as you can see kind of in that invite. But at 10 a.m. at Ritter Springs Park on Saturday is going to be a day for people to gather who have experienced this to remember the songs of our babies who have now gone on to be with the Lord. It's a time for mending and healing and remembrance and sharing. And these are all ways that we just care for one another because we have a God who wants to mend what is broken. And I don't know what you have today that needs to be broken. I mean, you have today that is broken. I don't know what you are experiencing today that needs healing. It could be a broken body, physical sickness. It could be chronic pain. For you, it could be a broken relationship. It could be broken emotions or habits. You could be spiritually broken and guilty, mentally broken and emotionally wrecked and struggling. I don't know what it is, but the question that Jesus is asking to us today as well is, do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? Because he can do it. They can start right here, right now, today. He can make you well. Do you want to get well is a personal question. It's an internal question. It's a search me and test me, O Lord, to see if there's any offensive way in me. It's a question that invites Jesus to peel back the layers of the onion of our hearts and of our lives so that we can go deeper to see those areas in us where it needs change, where it needs to be taken away by the power of Jesus, where it needs to be removed. I don't know what that is for you. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what addiction or habit or hurt or struggle or hang up is doing that. But I know right now that Jesus wants to make you well. And he invites you to come right now to be made well. The same question he asked a layman, he's asking you right here, right now. And if you're watching online, you can go to northsidechristianchurch.net/decision to begin that conversation with us so that we can come and pray together and join in that conversation. If you're in the room right now, there's cards in the seat in front of you, a connect card where you can just fill that out and drop it at a box as you leave with your offering, and you can just send that to us so we can start having the conversation. If you're in the room right now, I'd love to meet you right over here at Decision Point. We can pray together. There in that place, you can just bring this brokenness before the Lord and let Jesus make you whole again. And as you stand to your feet right now, I want this to be the prayer of our hearts. The prayer of our hearts to Jesus. Because when Jesus tells sickness to leave, it's gone. It's in your weakness that you can know that God is strong. He tells broken things to be healed, and guess what? They're made whole. Do you believe it? Have you seen it? Do you believe God is over all? Do you believe Jesus can do the impossible? Do you believe Jesus is what you need? He's the only one that can make you whole. Do you want to get well? If so, I'll meet you right over here.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Northside. Before you go, make sure you check in and let us know you were here. Text the word CHECK to 417-233-1200. If you want to respond to today's service, you can do that online through Decision Point. If you want to know more about baptism or becoming a member, you can request more info at northsidechristianchurch.net/decision. This is also the place to find out about our life groups, find out what sort of service opportunities there are, or if you just need to get in touch with a minister. And if you're online, you probably use social media too. Make sure you're following along with Northside on our Facebook page, Instagram account, YouTube channel, or Twitter. We are glad that you chose to join us this morning. As we head out for the week, let's make sure we take the love of God with us. Take good care of each other, Northside.